biscuit.
And welcome back to another episode of the Knights of the Round Table. We're here with your boy Man Wheezy.
To the left of Bo BC.
We got B Saint Real Saint Man in the house over there.
In the streets. Hey, you know, if you caught the last episode, it was part one of What Are You So Afraid Of? Or What Was I So Afraid Of? And on this episode, we're going to add to it, this is where we add, okay, we're going to give you
By
our,
the way, just before this, Manuel said, don't worry, guys, I'll set this up.
Yeah, because I've...
You're doing great.
No, I will do great. We're going to let you in on a little secret. So the second episode we're going to talk about was fear. And the last episode we talked about was fear. I don't know why we didn't connect the two. So now we want to just talk about what we're scared of now.
Scared.
And then we're going to go into a completely different episode, which you won't know because we're going to edit it out.
Unless it's their fear, in which they will relate very much so.
Very much so. So we were talking about the idea of like what we were scared of. What we realized back in high school, we were all scared of something. And it was kind of like the subtext was we were scared to be.
We're not going to tell you, though, because if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was to be who we are. But then I asked the question then, which maybe was kind of answered. But like, did that translate into the now?
Right.
So the question is, we talked about what we were scared then, but is there something to this day that we are still afraid of?
Elise just gave me the nod with the eyebrows like, hey, you're up first, buddy.
I did.
I'll go for it. So on the last episode, I talked about how when I was younger, there was that high school version of me that was so afraid to make mistakes that I truly didn't allow myself to live, right? I think all of us need to be able to trust ourselves. And hopefully you're around people who you also trust as well to give you the space and permission to go and live.
Yeah.
And part of living is failing. Like, that's baked into the equation of life. And so for
me. And one would say necessary.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Many would say necessary, not just one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carry on. Not just two, maybe. There might be five that would say that also.
That's very much.
Quick, fun. Somebody pick this up. Keep going, B.
That's hilarious. And so I think for me now that I've actually made mistakes and I've actually been humiliated, I have seen the lowest, darkest parts of myself. It's like now I'm no longer afraid to make mistakes. Mm. I realize, like, if anything, these mistakes have propelled me into the growth that I am, becoming the man that I am today. So I'm super proud of that. And I see the outcome of when these mistakes are interpreted in the right way. And you learn how to process that and you're equipped with tools to like put that on your belt and now move forward. I realize that. Now, I talked about the reason I was afraid to make mistakes because I so wanted to live to this level of perfection when I was younger. Mm. One of the things that I always dealt with in trying to live up to this perfect standard was that I never felt like I was enough.
Mm.
And that's something that I'm still working through today. Like that's something, it was funny because this happened Wednesday. So today's Friday that we're recording this. Happened on Wednesday. I woke up, hardly any sleep, was extra emotional that day, was just not in a good headspace or heart space. And there was two things that happened that day. One of them I won't share. One of them I will share. And this is going to sound so petty because it has to do with the high school me. One of the things that I will get is being inducted into my school's Hall of Fame. I'm one of the greatest athletes to ever go to my high school. And I say that with the utmost confidence because of my resume. I don't say that because I just think I'm hot shit. I think that because I did that, you know? And so one of my classmates just got nominated to be inducted into Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
So I got word of this and I'm like, there's this whole kind of rule when it comes to that. You got to wait so many years. Like it happens when people are really old. And I'm like, oh, this is bullshit because Chase just got, is getting inducted this fall.
Right.
We're so proud of you, Chase. Congratulations. Yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out
to Chase Wheels, bro. I love you, man. Congrats. But
so
anyways, I'm on my horse.
You deserve it.
And so, yeah. So this comes out and there's another thing that happened. And I just remember this day feeling so insecure, like feeling like to the point of like, well, shit, I'm not even on the right life path. What am I doing with my life? Am I even making a difference? Like, oh my God, he's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. Oh my God, they're making way more money than me. Like, man, I feel like I'm doing so much, but obviously it's not enough. Am I enough? Ugh. thought I got over this, only to realize that I'm not actually over it. Mm. So I come home later that night and I was like, baby, I just feel so insecure today, you know? And I just feel just like, I feel so inadequate. Like I just really feel like I'm just a failure in so many ways. Like in all the ways that other people are winning, it feels like their wins are so much bigger than my wins.
Mm.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
And that all came back to like, and again, I don't have these days often. I felt like I'd been past that, but that day obviously showed that there's a lot more work that needs to be done with that. And one of the things that I think back then affected me not feeling like enough was the fact that I didn't really feel like I was truly loved by God because I could never live up to the standard of perfection and holiness. I now am somewhat more convinced that I'm loved by God. Mm-hmm. And I think part of me training myself to understand that I'm loved by God is actually accepting love with the people that I'm surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And one of those is in particular is Maddie. There's so many ways in her love language is she is saying, I love you, Brandon Smith. And early on in her marriage, I just was not in the place to receive that because I wanted love in a particular way.
Right.
That either A, made my ego feel good or just B, made me feel good.
What was that way? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the ways is like touch and affection. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the ways that's not hers. Hers is acts of service. And I'm like, shit, I don't want to do dishes.
He's like, I can show you some acts of service, girl. You know what I mean?
Just come over here.
Physical touch.
Sit on my lap. Like, let's make something happen. And then there were so many things like just around like, dude, does she do all this stuff? Like, I mean, anyone who knows Maddie knows that she's an amazing cook, yeah. Right? Can do anything. And so all these things I feel like I wasn't able to receive love from. And then now I'm in a place where I'm actually receiving it. And then it's made the relationship that much better. But it's also opened up to me to actually receive the love from God. Mm. Right? Receiving love from God isn't this like, it's part mystical, but it's also part very practical.
Mm.
Like a lot of people, I think when they're like, well, I don't know if God loves me. You're like, well, dude, look at the people you're surrounded by.
Right.
What are the ways that they are loving you? Is your heart open to that, to receive that, and to really understand where that love is coming from? It's not just them. It's something behind it, right? If God is love, then we tap into this thing called God whenever we're choosing to love anything.
Yeah.
Right? To love another person is to see the face of God, to quote from a very famous play.
I thought it was a Bible verse. Anyway, keep going.
Second opinion.
Romans, right?
In Philadelphia 4:17. And so, yeah, so for me, man, it's been this process of like not finding my worth in what I do and what I can contribute to a situation. Like, I feel like, man, I have so many amazing things to offer anything or anybody in the position that I'm in. And it's hard because, I mean, I live here in America where capitalism and so much of your value as an individual is based off how much you are producing and how much you are consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not consuming, you damn well better be producing. Mm. And if you're doing neither, then you're not contributing anything.
Yeah.
Like you don't get to be a part of this thing. So there's so many things that are deeply ingrained in me that I gotta like, when I get to these moments now, and this is one of the ways that I know that there's been growth in me, is when I get to these moments where I feel like I'm not enough, I start asking myself questions. I don't just let myself sit in that feeling of feeling like I'm not enough. And then I look at, okay, what is it in this moment or what is it that triggered this that makes you feel like you're not enough? Okay, well, let's go back and let's actually walk with ourselves, our younger Brandon, and let's try and replace this lie, because it's obviously a lie. And let's try and replace this with some truth right now. Okay, the truth is, and that day, Maddie was the one that happened to be like, baby, you get to do something you are very passionate about and love. How many people get to do that with
right.
their life?
Wow.
The fact is, we have everything we need. Dude, we have more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I love you. I love our relationship. This is the highlight of my life. And all of a sudden, it's like all these things. It's like, I know, but I need to be reminded of. And it really helped me combat that day of where I just felt deeply insecure. And so that moment was felt like, man, I haven't had a moment like this in a long time. And so it just shows there's still some growth that needs to happen in me and some progress that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Dang, that's good.
Do you know what you're still scared about?
Oh, I have a list.
Really?
It's like a freaking shopping list. Yeah. Part of me is admitting that it's growth. I'm an Enneagram 3-2. So
I have it in my notes section on
yeah,
my
it's locked, but I have it, you know. I think that for me, I think the first one that comes to mind is probably, I'm trying to think which one we'll pick, my fear of being happy. What I mean by that is I'm a happy person. I love comedy. I love laughing. I love having a great time. When it comes to the really important things that you were just speaking to, that Maddie was having a quintessential Maddie moment for that, like she was telling you, and she brought you back to what doesn't matter, to what does matter, and brings you true joy, not like happiness, yeah, but joy. Ironically, I said I had a fear of happiness, but like Brené Brown says that the most vulnerable emotion we have as humans is actually joy. Often we think it's, whether it's like loneliness or judgment or anxiety, whatever, it's actually joy, because often when you've experienced such pain in the big dreams of your life, failure, disappointment, heartbreak, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I think for me, I feel like so much of my life, and Angela and I have had a few conversations about this, has been like, I feel like the almost girl. I feel like I've always almost gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I almost like did great in school. I almost got to what would have been my equivalent of the Hall of Fame of sports. I mean, I also think I was pretty great at sports. Hey, but
shout out to netball.
The school didn't have eyes to see it. You know what I mean? Those that have ears will hear.
When they have veils over it. break them off right now.
Yeah, shun that up. So, but for me, it was like drama and music was like the arts. And I almost got into this like final selection program that would have been able to display my talents. But like I almost got school captain. I almost, when I moved to LA, like I was almost a pastor for a bunch of years, but they wouldn't call me that. That's a whole different story. Like I was always almost the girlfriend. I was almost, and then I got married and I thought I finally did it.
Oh no.
And then like this person signed a piece of paper and promised me forever. I finally have one of the things that like is one of my dreams. And then he left.
Mm.
I know what it's like to be the, I, it's so close. I can almost touch it, but I can't. And even when I do feel it and touch it and have it for a second, it goes away. And so when you've had that a few times in your life, which I know most humans have, for me, it created this fear of resting in trusting that the happiness, the contentment, those joys of life are going to stay. And so it's like this fear of if I find something worth loving. And it means I self-sabotage. I mean, we all clearly know that that's like a thing with like, whether it's our friendship or our journeys or my, in so many different areas, I have self-sabotage because I'm so afraid of sitting in happiness and acceptance. And so I think one of those, like that's one area that I'm still working through is the acceptance and allowing myself to trust like the joy and not look for the first opportunity that it's going to not be there soon.
Yeah.
Because when you know joy that's been taken away, it's actually really hard to let it happen again. I can be happy, like, and I've learned to be content. I really have. But like the joys, they're really scary for me because like the feeling of like, you're not going to be here. And I think that, again, going back to that like childhood self of like, where did that come from? I was just always in an environment that there was a lot of smiles happening, but like if you didn't perform, then, and in so many different areas, like your position would be taken away. And to me growing up, like position was everything, like who you were, or like the authority that you had, what kind of leader you were in school, like the higher, there was a hierarchy, like that was a real thing. And so anyway, I think that for me is a fear that I'm still working through. And then because I think it's an even deeper fear, because they always just go deeper, right? Like we can say like we're afraid of spiders, but really what you're afraid of is like love. And you're like, how do we get from there to there?
I think you said something that's interesting that I kind of want to, it hit me when you said I haven't forgot it. So you said, I have to learn to sit in the joy and trust it.
Because I trust the
joy. I don't know
joy.
If trusting joy is the... Is the
no, trust move. That whoever, because it's always people. For me, I don't find joy in stuff. Like I like stuff and like I want to have a big house and like all that kind of stuff. But it's not something like I fantasize about. I'm not on Zillow every night. Like I don't really care. Like I like notoriety and people. Like make me famous and that'll be a whole thing. Like God knows. At least calm down. Like we know that's an issue. But like I'm like, I could do so many things for the kingdom. No, you just want to be famous.
Shout out. I could bless so many people.
I would use my platform for the Lord. Well, technically I am. Anyway. It's people that bring me joy. It's connection. It's relationship. So when I say trust the joy, it's like trust that this relationship that I found, whether it is friendship or romantic or some other person that I can rely on as a lease, like not over here, but like the girl Elise and the good, the bad and the ugly, that they're going to stay, that this relationship will not stay this way because it's growth, but it'll continue being this safe and therefore bring me joy.
Yeah, I think that's the thing though. That
did I just dive myself into a deeper hole? That
well, only because I think it's dangerous. Okay, so when I hear trust the joy, I think
it's
that...
It's not like a Pinterest quote, by the way.
No, like, I know. Trust the joy. I know, but everything that you're explaining,
Jeremiah,
I can see the fear in it because it very much isn't promised. And so when I hear that, I hear more so... In your life, there have been moments of joy that have gone, and it hasn't been by your choice. They just walked out. Mm-hmm. That can very well happen again. So
far, this is great. Thank you so much.
No, but wait.
Very hopeful.
But wait, when I think of what can we trust in, I almost say trust the change.
Right.
Mm.
Because whether it changes into that forever safety or whether it changes into another disappointment, on the other side of that change has always been a better Elise.
Yeah,
because trusting the joy, like that's like, to me it's a fool's errand, because that if that joy is based on
I'm relying on
totally. Or if somebody else has the power to either make it or break it,
totally,
then it's like, oh shit, then I don't have any kind of whatever. But if I trust that change, I trust in change. And every time there's been change in my life, it's always hurt, but it has always made me wiser, smarter, stronger, love harder, laugh harder. Like, it's always because I look back and I'm like, damn, I've been through some things. Like that time I lent that dude $40,000 and he never paid me back.
Bloop.
Damn. But I knew, I didn't trust in the feeling of that. I trust in, oh, there's something in this. Holy crap, Jesus, I can lend 40 grand and not need it back.
Right.
So there was a change
or
in my mentality. No, and the only thing, yes, but the only thing
some practical lessons also.
The only thing that made me upset was I still gave to someone who needed, but I believe that could have helped somebody else in a better way. But what I'm saying is I trust in change in the sense of
that's
the only thing that's promised. It's everything will change.
And I think maybe I'm saying, like, I think I'm getting better at it. I think those early signs of good things coming my way, in a sense, that first thing, it can be really hard for me to accept, to let people in, to let good things in and not be afraid of, like,
it going
holding
away
tightly. But I've also am also learning that the only things that I'm finding that God lets me keep, like, truly look in my life, are the ones that I keep an open hand with. The second I try and strangle those they're gone.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not necessary, because I think over the history of your life, God is okay. Like, what have you had to let go of, or not even let go of? What has slipped through your fingers that you really want back?
Oh, that I really want back? No, not him for sure.
I'm just saying, like, is there anything? Because I'm trying to think about it. I'm like, is there anything in my life that slipped? Like the two careers. Like the two, because those are the biggest things that slip through my hands, because it sure as hell ain't no relationship. Like, I'm happy where I'm at. But those two massive careers that could have been different, I could have been on another level.
Mm.
Like, do I really want them back?
Right.
When I'm like.
Because you think about what they were really.
Well, what they would have had to, if I would have succeeded,
where that would have taken
I would have ended up in
been.
A life where it's like, I can't do anything normal. And I love normal stuff. I love just driving to the movies, going by myself, or going with B, or going. Like, none of that would be available to me. I'd be.
And so, what you think you want, when you really look back at it, you're like, I would never have wanted that anyway. God.
And Sinbad always says this. He's like, I don't want to be a rock star. I just want to live like one. Like, he taught me, like, he's like, I don't want to be like them. I just want to have their money.
Mm.
Because what I would do in that position would be completely different. So none of the notoriety, just give me all the rock star money and I'll live the best life ever, because I can, and I'm incognito doing things. That's what I realize, you know? So I really crave freedom. There's nothing in it. slipped through my hands or I'm like, I want it back.
That's a really good question of like, what do you, what's that thing, that regret that you have that slipped through your hands? Because we romanticize them.
Yeah.
Like we always romanticize. I think I've talked about this before. Dr. Henry Cloud talks about when you're grieving he used the like analogy of like a breakup. What we so often do is we romanticize the previous relationship. So we're like, that's why we always get back into cycles of like calling them back or like answering their calls. Cause after a while you forget all the crap that happened, the reasons you broke up, the actual abuse. And you're like, oh, I just miss them so much.
Yeah.
And then you get back with them and you're like, crap, this sucks. What am I doing? But when you don't see the reality of the situation, you just romanticize it. You're grieving a relationship that never existed.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's so true when I look back on whether it was like the ministry opportunities that I feel like I could have now if I had like made different decisions or whatever it was. I'm like, I don't know, because I think back on the girl in ministry and there are so many prayer meetings that I did not want to go to or that I was like miserable at, or, and not because we were praying, but because were we praying? Like, because I don't know, at least don't say that. But I think like when I look back on that life that I grew up in, mm-hmm. and grew into, I'm still grateful for it. Even the parts that weren't fun.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, I don't know that I would grab at any of them. Would the opportunity present itself again in the same way?
Once you can land in that place, then you're really not afraid of the loss or the whatever. Yeah. Like, even God forbid, I lose Ange.
Like the people.
I think it's going to suck if I lose Ange. But I do think that.
We all think that.
If that happens,
yeah, I would cry.
Like, I feel like life or Ange herself, like in losing her, I think it would bring a revelation that would alter my life in the worst and best way possible, because it would push me into a season that maybe I never would have went to on my own.
Right.
And I will discover things about myself that, and maybe, you know, because that's kind of my fear. You know what? Well, I'm talking about it because maybe this is a little bit my fear. Look.
Of losing Ange?
Well, what that would mean. Mm-hmm. Because since we've been married, and I always talk about this on the podcast, like she's been the main breadwinner. Mm-hmm. I make money. And to anyone else in America, like, you're doing good.
Yeah, you're doing.
You may not be a rock star yet, but you got the money of one.
Yeah, like, I mean, this year I'm going to make $250,000. Like, to anyone else, that's amazing. But when I'm dwarfed by my wife, I'm like, oh, but that's next level. And I think about, oh my God, if I lost this person, I'll be exposed. Like, that's a fear of mine. Mm. Like, can I keep replicating this? Or am I only able to do this because she gives me the space to do this? Mm. Like, am I only winning because there's not a fear of losing?
Wow, that is so good.
Does that make sense? Because then if she's gone, there's no, oh, I'm going to go do another tour, baby, and come back with this insane amount of money. There's just Manny. And I got this finite amount of resources that I have to make last for the rest of my life. Mm. Am I good enough? And I think before I would answer,
because imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've always taken care of myself. There's never been a time where I haven't been good or had an abundance. But when you get used to a certain lifestyle that's predicated on someone else, it's like, can you live up to this? Can you keep this going? Yeah. Or will I resort to this fear of like, I'm gonna sell all my expensive shit and never buy anything else again in my life?
I think that
would
be, by the way, I think that everyone would have to talk you down from doing that. I think that would be your first reaction.
Like, I feel like I'd be so scared, but I think that is a fear that I'm not, that I don't have wealth within me, even though everything in me feels like I do.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it yet while she's around, I would be afraid that if I lost her, that it would be exposed. Oh, this nigga isn't dope. He's not as cool or awesome or whatever.
Mm.
Even though I know the truth about myself,
yeah,
that is a massive fear.
Yeah. It's because I think in even a deeper way, a deeper question, it's like, without Ange in the picture, the question that you're asking yourself is, do I have what it takes?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the question. I think, like, you know, I think a lot of people ask, but specifically men. That I think that is the deepest question that all men in the entire world, is a question that constantly comes back up in their life in different seasons. That is the main question I think men have to ask themselves, is, do I have what it takes?
And it's crazy because when I look at the facts, when I look at the five houses that I flipped in the last 5 years, and then add what I, when I wrote Angie's record and got her a record deal, and then add what I did for that tour, and then add what I've done recently, and I'm like, I have made a lot of money in my life. Why am I so whatever? And I think it's because it's a constant reminder every time that I'm living in this life. I'm very well much aware that this life, as much as, you know, I do okay for myself, like, she's kind of providing the,
but I think she would be the quick, like the quickest at the table to say the reason, like she, like it's such a partnership
for sure.
And so I think that that is such a big part of it, is that like, we do what we do because of the people we're around and the partner and the people that like God connects us with. And then we are faithful with those connections. Right.
Well, especially since the last three specials were mainly about me. So you're welcome.
Content. You know what I mean?
You're
everything's
welcome.
Content.
I mean, and she's
in,
only
and
getting
in the
better.
Ways that you push her.
Yeah.
You know, to be like you in some ways. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like,
to a degree. And her for sure pushes me to be like her, which I'm uber grateful for.
And in the same way, it's, it goes back to that, like, you know, keeping an open hand with stuff. I think that that's like, I think what you said of like, even as I think about that of like, well, if those things were taken, if I do have joy and it gets taken, if I do get married again and get divorced again, heaven forbid, honestly, I'd be so pissed. I'd be
J-Lo, pissed. J-Lo has tried this thing a lot more times than you.
J-Lo
have.
Is J-Lo.
And she's still winning.
I'd
no one's
her.
Saying my first name as my whole name. Or like,
we
it's
could.
Not even her first name.
We could. I'd do it.
Ugh, when I'm Elise as Oprah is Oprah, then I can have a couple of marriages.
Dude, you got
Lord,
it on
I'm
Instagram.
Just kidding.
That's the first step. You got it on Instagram, Elise.
I did. Praise
man,
me.
I love this second part, but we're going to end it here.
Oh, yeah.
This was part two. I hope you guys go back and listen to part one. We will absolutely adore it if you do. But yeah, like we always say, we hope you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.